Tonight for my short talk is going to be on the subject of positive answers from God. And we're going to be looking at, in each slide, a statement that we might have said in our life at some point and how God answers it. To start off, we say, it's impossible. God says, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 18, verses 24 through 30, it says, and when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and then followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. We say, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We say, nobody really loves me. God says, I love you. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We say, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, and the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, and in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And in Psalms chapter 91, verses 14 through 15, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. We say, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know not how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We say, I'm not able. God says, I am able. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. We say, it's not worth it. God says, it will be worth it. in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We say, "I can't forgive myself." God says, "I forgive you." And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." We say, "I can't manage." God says, "I will supply all your needs." In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 through 19, it says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Aphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We say, "I am afraid." And God says, "I have not given you a spirit of fear." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We say, "I am always worried and frustrated." God says, "Cast all your cares upon me." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." We say, "I'm just not smart enough." And God says, "I will give you wisdom." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 30, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." We say, "I feel all alone." God says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" In conclusion, we say self-help books and therapists and drugs can help control our lives. God says, "All you need is me." In Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 30, it says, "Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which they have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things." Thank you.